Morning, everybody. Sorry, I was a little slow on the uptake, saying hi to some moms. Happy Mother's Day to you all, and I'm thrilled that you're here, and God has something for you, whether you're a mom or not. God has something for all of us. I do want to say an extra, and let's applaud at the end, an extra thank you, because there are ladies within our community. So many of you do so much all the time, but I'm thinking of Casey and Aubrey, who is singing, and Jennifer, and Jamie, and Aaron, and Margaret, and others that are on our team, and they are mothers as well, but on a day like today where you're supposed to be pampered, they're the ones who got up early and have been here and pressing in for our good. So can we say an extra thank you to them? Because that's double duty, and that's love. Although I did talk to one of the moms, you're like, are you kidding me? I get to be here instead of caring for the little ones. This is a gift. I'm like, that's a strange way to see it, but I'm glad you're happy. So, it is a good day to be together. We do want to honor moms, and I want to say an extra special welcome to those of you who are watching online. Hello to my own mom watching from Medford, and I promise to call you once this is done and after lunch. And we're just gifted some to still have our mothers alive, and that is a blessing. And so in a moment, we're going to pray for our mothers and grandmothers, but I also want to recognize, too, as we pray, that this day is also very challenging. So let's be thoughtful towards one another, whether you're here and you've had that dream of motherhood, and for whatever reason, God hasn't answered the cry of your heart. Maybe you grew up and the memory of mom and that experience is unpleasant to be nice about it. It was really difficult. And that relationship is even currently strained. We want to remember you today. Or it's just something that's a dream and you're not yet, not even hoping still that it's going to happen, but wondering, God, have you passed me by? Look, we're all coming in different spaces, and some have lost a child, lost a mom, lost a grandmother, lost a spiritual mother, someone who raised them in the faith, and they're no longer with us. And we just want to remember, this is a tough time, so we all need God's grace, don't we? We all need God's grace. But yet, at the same token, if you are a mom, can I just invite you to stand? And we want to pray blessing, or a grandmother. Would you stand? And there must be some. You're like now? Yeah, please. Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Come on. Let's thank God for the moms that we have. Yeah. And I'm just going to ask you to stand the entire time. The entire time this morning, we just want to know. But let's, if you're by a mom that's around you, especially if you're related, why don't you just hold their hand or touch them if it's close, and let's just pray blessing on these women this morning. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you've given us. We thank you for all that you poured in through these ladies to pour out your blessing, your instruction, your encouragement, your care, through them. And God, we just pray that today would be a day of abundance for them, a day filled with joy, even in the midst of hard times or sorrow, that you, Holy Spirit of God, would produce joy in them as we honor them today. And Lord, we thank you for those that you've given us as moms that are no longer here. And we pray with blessing over the memory of all that they've poured into our lives. For moms and grandmas, well, we just say thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you, moms. You could stand. It would be weird, but or you could just sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it is Mother's Day, and we as a church here, if you're new here, we most often go through long passages in the Bible, whether that's a section or that's a whole book. And the thing about doing things in sequence is sometimes things really hit well, and then other times they hit, and it's like, okay, here we go anyway. Mother's Day 2019, I kid you not, we were in the book of Daniel, we hit chapter 7, and the title was Four Great Beasts. Ooh, that's a weird one. And we talked about four beasts on Mother's Day, and people still came the week after. And then in 2022, it was really good. We're in 1 Peter 5, dealing with the devil on Mother's Day. And so sometimes they hit, and sometimes you just keep going, right? And today is an interesting passage to talk about for Mother's Day. Yet, as I've looked at it this week, I think there's something not just for mom, but for everybody about how we use our time. So there is something for you and nothing else. You're going to get brunch. But we're going to start. It's going to be weird. And then by the end, I promise, John, I promise that there's value for all of us. Okay, let's just read 1 Corinthians 7. Steve did a wonderful job up to verse 24 and in a very difficult passage. Well, you're going to see how it gets strange off the bat. Verse 25. Now about virgins. On Mother's Day. Okay. I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Don't seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Don't look for a wife. But if you do marry, you've not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you of this. Okay, Mom. to the virgins. All right. Time out. He's not talking about their history. This is actually isn't inappropriate language. He's talking to the single people who are engaged. As a matter of fact, if you read the New Living Translation, it says to the young women not yet married. They've written a letter to Paul, and they're following Jesus, but it's bringing up all sorts of things that are super practical. And the wonderful thing about the Bible is it's for everyday life. It's not just for religious or spiritual moments. Following Jesus is about everything. And so they ask some really practical questions. In their day, your marriage was not your marriage. You didn't pick. For the most part, your marriage was a part of two families bringing their kids together. In their culture, it was a family affair. And even if you really did care for this person that you were going to marry, most often the marriage was about bringing people of similar status, or it was about wealth, or it was about influence, and you were a part of the equation. Now, for us in our culture, for many of us, we say like that's foreign, but for some in our culture here, that was a part of your experience. So they're just thinking everything through the lens of Jesus. So they find themselves now following Jesus, but some were still single, yet their families had come together and they were engaged, could be a long process, and now they're in the middle of getting ready to be married, and they're wondering, what do I do? Paul, my family kind of set this up, but I'm on the path to marriage, but now I'm following the way of Jesus. What do I do? Do I continue the course? Do I say no? What's next? And the big picture in all of these practical questions in chapter 7 is live faithful to Jesus wherever you are. And I just love this because this is timeless, and so this may not be your particular scenario, and any of these scenarios Paul's going to talk about may not hit you, but you are somewhere in life, and the word to you is, what do I do? What do I avoid? What's the next step? Well, the principle is live faithful to Jesus. So to the single, to the virgins, right? Those engaged, not yet married. Here's the word. Marriage is great. That's what he's saying. But it's not ultimate. And I don't know where you are in life. Some of us, we have a vision of something that hasn't happened yet, and we're wondering, man, will that, whether it's career, whether it's relationship, whether it's financial, whether it's experiential, if I can just, then I'll be fulfilled. And the word to you is, if you have Jesus, live fulfilled. That doesn't mean we don't have dreams. It doesn't mean we don't have future aspirations. All those are beautiful things. If you're seeking God for stuff, that's a good thing, but it shouldn't keep you from living faithful in the present. So to the singles not yet married, if you want to continue the course with that engagement, that's a beautiful thing. But he does have a word that we ought to remember. Those who marry will face many problems. And he says, I want to spare you this. And in other words, that next season in life is not the ultimate. It's just the next season. So if God graces you with marriage, wonderful. If he graces you with singleness, wonderful. So let's keep reading. Beautiful word, verse 29. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they do not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Is he melancholic? What's going on here? Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. And here's his rationale. For this world in its present form is passing away. So to those who are single, live faithful to the Lord. Marriage is an ultimate. To those who are married, it's going to take a lot of your time and attention. This is a beautiful thing. But life isn't just about your relational status. And if you're a parent, it isn't just about the kids. His phrase, which we're going to come back to, and here's why I want to focus our attention in the end, is the time is short. Everyone's living with limited supply. Jesus said upon his ascension into heaven after his crucifixion to pay for our sin in full, he was really buried. He really died. He died the death we deserved. He was raised to life by the Spirit of God, and he defeated death and the grave, and he went back to the Father. He said, I'm preparing a place for you, and he says, I will return. So we are living with a whole new view of time. Something has happened. Time is short. Live for Jesus. And that's the word to all of us in any stage, in any phase, in the highs of life and in the lows of life. Something has happened. It already happened. Jesus rose again. Jesus is coming back. So our time is short. Live for him. Live faithful to Jesus where you are. Verse 32, we'll just keep going. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he could please the Lord. A married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please or take care of his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin, an engaged person, is concerned about the Lord's affairs, but her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good. Not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way. Catch this phrase. In undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone's worried that he might not be acting honorably towards the engaged, you know, the virgin he's engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, hey, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. But the man who settled this matter in his own mind, who's under no compulsion, he's not forced, he has control over his own will, who's made up his mind not to marry the virgin, well, this man's also done the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right. He does not marry her, does better. There's a blessing in being single, he said. Verse 39, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. So in my judgment, she's happier if she stays as she is. And I think I too have the Spirit of God. So there are these just practical words. I know we're dropped into a 2,000-year-old letter to people who had real burning questions, the singles in the church. What do I do? Live faithful to the Lord. To the married, what do I do? Live faithful to the Lord, but know this. This is a good thing. To be married is good, but you have to recognize your passions, your time, your energy is now rightly divided. You're devoted to Christ. We belong to him. And in a real sense, we're married to the Lord, right? We are in ongoing covenant relationship to God. Like, this matters. And you're in covenant relationship to that man or woman. So your passions right now in following Jesus are going to sometimes be in conflict, which is why he's saying he's not anti-relationship. It's so easy to take a text like this and say, like, wow, Christians shouldn't be in human relationships because we're connected to Christ. He's simply saying there are pros and cons to both. So No matter where you find yourself or where your future takes you, you just ought to live devoted to the Lord. So his final word is to the widow, who's going to be under a lot of social pressure to get remarried by the people in their community. Your husband has passed away, and now it's time to get remarried. He's like, time out. You belong to God. You belong to him. Now, you're free to marry anyone. Oh, time out. You're not married, free to marry anyone. They have to belong to the Lord. But if you desire that relationship, that's a beautiful thing. But at the same token, because you're in dual relationship, when you're married to Christ, you're related to God, and then you're married, you're related to your spouse. When that relationship, that human relationship is over, you are now really free. You can get remarried, or you can take that energy. Why? Something has already happened. Jesus has risen from the grave. Time is short. He's coming back. So everyone has been given the gift of time. Now, there's so much practical here. I just want to drill in my final few minutes about a few verses, starting at verse 29. We're going to read them again because this is a word that's great for Mother's Day, but it's great for Father's Day, and it's great for Kids' Day, and it's great for... Have you found that every day is a holiday now? Like Donut Day and Popsicle Day and Lollipop Day, everything. But no matter what day, this is a word for everyone here. Let's just read it again, starting at verse 29 through verse 31. What I mean, brothers and sisters, in light of his relational wisdom, is that time is short. So from now on, those who have wives, they should live as though they do not. Those who mourn as if they didn't. Those who are happy as if they were not happy. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use a thing of this world are not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Here's the big takeaway. Jesus' followers should have a different view of time altogether. And this is a contrasting word to the culture that you and I are living in. Those of us who follow Jesus, if you're not yet following Jesus, I invite you to consider following him today. But know this, when you enter into this covenant relationship, this lifelong, intimate, close relationship with God, it ought to impact the way you and I view all of time. Let me just be clear. Here's what Paul is not saying, because at a quick read, you can misread what he's saying. He's not saying ignore your responsibilities. Married people, live as though she's not your wife. Ignore her. She no longer matters. No, that's a total misreading. He's not saying ignore your parenting responsibility. If you're a parent, live as if you're not. That's not very helpful. No, your parenting responsibilities still matter. He's not saying ignore your emotions. If you're grieving, just tough it out and get callous and remember you're going to be with Christ, so who cares about grief? Or you're not allowed to be happy because you follow Jesus, although some people live that way. Gosh, ever just seen that Jesus follower who's just like down, 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 down? We all know we ought to be happy. We have eternal life. Hey, you're going to live forever with God. You have the Holy Spirit, God's presence living with you. Your sins have been forgiven. You have peace with God. You belong to the family of God, no matter how your human family is operating. You belong to the global people of God. Like this is, we ought to be happy. So he's not saying don't get too down or don't get too up. No, he's not saying ignore your possessions, those who buy as if they don't have anything. He's not saying ignore your house, your car, your bank account. This is not the who cares, whatever is going to happen is going to happen attitude. That's not what Paul is saying. Here's what he is saying. Jesus died and rose again, and he's coming soon. And that, my friends, if that is true, and it is, then we need to revisit time. In other words, time is limited. Time can be wasted. Time should be viewed not in light of the next minute or hour, but be lived in view of eternity. So because we are one step closer to eternity with God, Jesus could return at any moment. The challenge with 2,000 years of him not returning yet, because he's patient, he's not slow in keeping his promises, he wants to bring more and more people into the family of God. And so on behalf of those who are not following him, he's letting time continue to bring more and more sons and daughters to himself. This is good news, right? He could have came before you responded to him. And what would life have been for you? Eternity without God. So God is, he's not slow in keeping his promises, but at the same token, 2,000 years, unfortunately for us, when Paul's writing to this church in Corinth, he firmly believes it's going to happen in a few years. It's going to happen now. In the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed. We're going to be taken up and be with the Lord. And they lived with a sense of urgency because Jesus said he would return soon. And how does that impact how you and I follow Jesus today? Because he hasn't come for 2,000 years, that does not mean he's not coming soon. And if he doesn't return soon, here's what we know. Soon, to be with God, I would hope, if you follow Jesus, you will be with God. If you do not follow Jesus, here's a downer, you will not be with God. Happy Mother's Day. That's reality. So we live with a different view of time, like time is short. And so because eternity, we are one step closer. I think there are at least a couple of takeaways for you moms who we love, and for you dads, and for you singles, and for you empty nesters, and those of you who just are endlessly wiping snot right now because it's just that season of life. You know, wherever you find yourself, I think there's at least a couple of takeaways that ought to impact how I live in following Jesus. The first is we ought to embrace our season. Embrace your season. Look at your season for what it is. Verse 31, for this world in its present form is passing away. And I would like you to be free from concern. In other words, in following Jesus, if we don't view time according to Jesus's view of time, then we'll get caught up and miss the season that we're in. Time doesn't stand still. It's moving. It's moving. So moms, there was a time when you looked at other people and thought, oh, like one of these days, I want me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those. Like, you know, you were looking ahead to the next season. And then if you're a mom, God provided those children to you, and you quickly realize your life is over. And it's begun, right? It's over. Like, the old is gone, the new has come. You remember the pre-mom life as this distant memory, and now there's mom life. And every mom that I've met and talked to, whether they're into their 80s or 90s and grandparents or whatever, you're always mom. There's always a connection with that child. So there are different seasons, though. When your kids are little, the struggle is just to keep them alive. And that's like the mission. Keep them alive. So there's feeding, and then there's diapers, and there's cleanup and repeat, and it's just keep them alive. And then there's pre-K, and then you get a small reprieve for the first time, maybe. And then there's kindergarten, like, whoa, now someone else is influencing my child in his elementary and middle and high school. And then the next thing you know it, you're launching these children into the world. And my word to you is it's easy to miss out on what God has for you in your current season if you're always dreaming about the next one. The challenge with my now is I'm living in the problems of my now, so I'm looking ahead, hoping that there's less problems or different problems in my future. And you know what? Because time is short, yet we're secure in the time God's given us. We belong to him. We ought to treat everything differently. I belong to God now. He's with me now. The Spirit of Jesus is moving in my life now. I'm concerned about the future. Sure, I'm planning for the future. Sure. But what would it look like to embrace now, right now, in light of eternity? So this season, if it's extremely fruitful, no, it could change. And it doesn't shake our faith when we go from a season of joy and fruitfulness to maybe a season of loss and sorrow, because we know the time is short. God has me where he has me, and he loves me where I am, and he's going to bring me forward. So we're not like those who have no hope or don't follow Jesus, who are counting on themselves to manage the future. No, we belong to Christ. We're safe in his hands. So every season, it has limits. A word of encouragement. You can't be everything to everyone, nor should you. We need to be released from that pressure, right? You can't do everything. You can't be everything. You can't make a perfect life. That's just an illusion. Live present with Jesus in the now. Day by day, enjoy him. Grow in him. Seek his face. Make him primary. That's his word to every life stage. It's like, you want to stay single? That's wonderful. You want to get married? That's wonderful. You want to get remarried? That's wonderful. All those things, they matter. Humans are about relational life, and what makes us unique to any other thing that God's created is we were made for these deep, intimate relationships that are beyond the animals. God created us in his image, and so Father, Son, and Spirit, an eternal relationship, and you and I were made for deep, lasting relationships. Yet at the same time, all of that is going to fade. I'm married now, and I pray that I'm married to the end of my human life. But even when Paul talks about the future and eternity with God, it's like, it's not like here. It's not going to be all about like who you're married to and not. And are you going to have the same kinds of relationship with your spouse in eternity? And what about kids? And what about those who were never married? And what? He's like, no, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be a whole new way where we are united to God and one another. But as long as we're on this planet, much of our energy is spent on these human relationships. But we who follow Jesus have an added dimension. We see time for what it is. It's the gift of God. And so I can embrace this season. Carmen, my wife, who's like so wonderful that she's serving so that moms can be in here. She's serving, holding kids right now. But she got for Christmas, we do like a family Christmas gift. And she got one of those digital photo album thingies. And we put it right by where we eat. And so since Christmas till now, I've re-seen like all of our family photos over all these years. And I tell you, if you haven't gotten one of those, like buy one or put it on your wish list. It's the most beautiful thing. Because when they're on your computer or your phone, how often do you look at them? Rarely. But when we're just sitting in the living room or dining room, it's just one big room for us. Wherever you are in the corner, I've just been flooded with all of these family memories of life before kids. Like, and I look at those photos, I'm like, who is that couple? Now, my wife, if you know her, she just has not changed. Like, literally, we've been married almost 31 years. It's like our wedding photo, and like last week, same old, same old. She just looks the same. And then me, I know what decade by my look. Like, I look, oh, 30s, not bad, you know. But then I'm seeing our littles when they were little. And here's the beauty of that. It's helped me to revisit these memories in like a brand new way, because when I was in those moments, I was stressed out. And now I'm like, it actually all worked out. You know, like when you're in this season, you just see the pressure and you feel the weight. And whether it's kids or parenting or it's finances or career development, it's the same thing. When you're in the moment, you can lose perspective. And that family photo album has helped me to realize all of those photos, it took a long time, the last 20, 30 years of our life and raising our kids, but now we're on the other end. Our son already has an apartment, and he graduates next Sunday from college, and we're like super proud, but you know what? Those little Jonah photos keep popping up. And I feel like that was an eternity ago, and it was yesterday at the same time. And those of you who've already empty nested, you understand. It went like that. Time is actually short. And Allie, she graduates from high school here in a few weeks and going off to college, and we're like staring at the house already, like empty room, empty room, empty room, empty room. Like, wow, our life has changed. Yet, you and I, because we follow Jesus, we embrace hard seasons differently, and we embrace seasons of joy differently because we just have a different view of time. And so Paul says, verse 31, this world in its present form is passing away. And I just would love for you to be free from the unnecessary concerns. So Paul can give specific, and I know some of it, you read it and it's like, it doesn't apply to me, but he can give specific wisdom to every life stage in the church. And we can still do the same today because something doesn't change. We all have limited time. The second one, application I think that we can look at for anyone in any stage of life at any time, and this one's shorter because it's kind of connected, is we should live with undivided devotion. We should live our lives in light of the time is short, right? Jesus could return at any moment, but we're going to go and be with him seemingly at any moment. What do we do in the now? We should live with undivided devotion. Verse 35, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. His words of wisdom aren't like meant to be restrictions, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. So let me just ask you, who are you living for really? I mean, and the pat answer is if you're calling yourself a Jesus followers, I'm living for Jesus. But passages like this bring us back. Like, no, who are you really, really living for? And his word to the single, to the married, to the divorced, to the widowed is no matter where you find yourself, live fully devoted to the Lord. And we ought to ask ourselves these are good. When you look at the discussion guide this week, these are all hyper practical questions that we're going to learn from one another. And especially if there's some variety in your groups, you're going to gain some wisdom from the brothers and sisters in your group that are in a different life stage, because the beauty of walking through life for a long time is you gain insight from those older, and you have the ability to pass it down to those younger, and then you can gain encouragement if you're older from those younger, and together we can live devoted to the Lord. I would just suggest it's way easier to live distracted than devoted. And so the default mode of our culture is distraction. And you know, people rail about devices, whether it's your phone or whatever it is, but all that does is enhance the ability for our heart that's already distracted to get off course. And so when we think about what it means to be in your present situation, like wherever you are, whatever life stage, single or married, divorced or widowed, what are you devoted to really? When you think about what really fuels your time and your energy and your resources, where is Jesus versus your career or job or vocation? All those things matter. God wants us to live for him in our workspace. And whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do it all to the glory of God. So Jesus followers ought to be the best employees. We ought to be the best employers, because our work isn't a secondary thing. It's our worship. It's how we worship God. But is the pursuit of more in the workspace, is it causing me to live distracted? Am I so earthly career, you know, focused that I neglect the most important thing, which is my walk with God? Because in the end, I am replaceable. In the end, I will either be let go, I will move on, or I will be made obsolete. And the beauty of having a career and a long career is you can enjoy being used by God, but in the end, 30 years, 40 years, that season of life will be gone. Yet whatever I'm doing is stay connected to Christ, to live devoted to him, to live out his mission in and through me. That stuff remains. And so now the best of both worlds is that we just merge the two, and I live with absolute devotion to Jesus, and that spills out into my work life. But friends, if you are following Jesus now, everything is working against you to live fully devoted to Jesus, expressed through your workspace. Everything within you and around you is going to pull you to live devoted to the temporary at the expense of the eternal. When you think about sports and the things that we value, I'm not railing at any person. I'm just railing against our cultural sway. I think if you're parenting, there is this idea, and it's just pushed, that you have to help your child achieve every dream, which means they must be great at every sport in every season and ever increasingly involved in everything because I don't want them to miss out. And look, I think that being healthy and learning and growing and team activities and developing skills and being pushed, this is all wonderful, this is all good. But at what cost? At what cost to your own soul? Are you giving yourself fully devoted to the future you wish you had? The dream you had and weren't able to pursue? Is that now like pushing you to over push them? Is it just because your neighbors are doing it every sport, every month, every week, all the time? Again, I'm not, this is a sport is a beautiful thing. But what about their spiritual development? What about their love for Christ? What about their knowing the Word of God? What about them investing time in other Jesus people and growing in the faith? All I'm saying is like, life is gonna throw all sorts of options your way and my way, but we're called to live fully devoted in whatever season we are in life and to put in primary. And it, maybe it's not that, maybe it's just experiences and entertainment. Like we're flooded with all of these options. I grew up where you had to click the TV to change the channel. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We didn't even have a remote control. Like one of us four kids had to get up and click to the six options we had. If six, and if there was no rabbit ears antenna, we had none. Some of you are gonna Google rabbit ears. But now, what I'm grateful for is I have unending opportunity to connect with everything at all times, and that is a gift. That is better than six channels and static. But has it caused me to live fully devoted to the Lord? Has it been a gift, which anything could be a gift, or has it become a chain that I have to reject at times because it's creeping in on my time with God? I love the way he phrases all this practical wisdom. Quote, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way. And so I'm not here to tell you this is the right way and that is the wrong way. The Holy Spirit is able and willing, if you'll allow him, to do that in your own life and in your own circumstance. But I am here to strongly suggest that we have to push back, those of us who follow Jesus, against distraction so that we can live fully devoted. And then in the right combination, we can enjoy those human relationships. We can enjoy our career pathways. We can enjoy entertainment that builds up and refreshes and is good. I'm not saying those are evil in and of themselves, but the word of the Lord is, I want you to live in a right way with an undivided devotion, which implies we can live in a poor way with a very divided devotion. And so we need each other and we need the Spirit of Jesus. Now, here's how we're going to respond. We're going to just bring our whole selves to God. All of us has something to reconsider. This isn't like for one person or for two people. Because is following Jesus, living for him, is this our actual pursuit? Or do we just say that's our pursuit because that's the right Christian response? And so we get to come to God week after week and just present ourselves and say, God, I need a massive adjustment, or God, I could use a dose of encouragement, or God, whatever it is for you, we bring our whole selves to God in response and say, God, here am I. Here's the question I want to use to drive that response this morning. What does it look like to live with an undivided devotion to the Lord? I want you to take, even now, we're going to respond in worship and take communion together. But I think the right reflection is to ask ourselves, what does it take for me to live a life of undivided devotion? And the temptation will be to move on to the song, move on to brunch, move on to a whole new thing. But the invitation this morning is to allow the Spirit of God to invade our space and with love deal with us at the deepest levels. And so this morning, I want you to take your Bible or your journal, wherever you have, and just close it for a moment, maybe put it aside. Don't look at your phone. Don't allow the distractions that are normally there. And I'm going to invite you to have a holy space and a holy moment with God, whether you're watching from home or whether you're in the building. With that question resonating in our soul, let's ask God, God, what would it look like for me to live with an undivided devotion to you? And you might be surprised what comes to mind. So if it helps, close your eyes. The worship team is going to come, and we are going to take communion first, and then we're going to respond with singing. But in order to prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup, let's ask God to be God in us. I'm just going to be silent for a moment and give you space to think about your devotion and speak to Jesus about it. You can whisper. He knows what we're thinking. And then in a moment, we're going to together eat and drink the grace of God. But let's bring our whole selves to him. Lord, we pause and we want to make space for you to speak deeply to our heart so that we can take the appropriate steps and live in alignment with your way, Jesus. And we just confess collectively this morning that we are all quick to stray. But thank you for grace, for daily bread, God, for bringing us back again and again. So God, this morning, we don't sit under your condemnation. We do, though, embrace the conviction that you bring, Spirit of God, when we're walking in directions that are good but not helpful, temporarily satisfying but not ultimately fruit-bearing. We want our lives to matter to you, Jesus, because you're the author of life, and we're united with you, and we're going to be with you forever, and so God, we affirm and remember today that our days are short, our time is short. Help us, God, make the most of the now. Lord, I just pray your grace and mercy for those in long seasons of suffering and heartache. And God, I thank you that even too, in that sense, the time is short. God, I thank you that you're bringing rescue and help and comfort. And God, I thank you that all of us who follow you will ultimately be released to all of these burdens when we see you as you are, face to face, and we enjoy you forever. So God, help my brothers and sisters to walk through these long seasons with a joy that can only come from you. Provide for them what they need today. Lord, I do pray for my brothers and sisters this morning who have strayed far from your heart. I thank you, God, that you receive us back. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and clean us from all wrongdoing. Thank you, God, that we have a second chance in you, and a third, and a fourth, and a 15,000th. You're always inviting us back. So, God, I pray that my brothers and sisters who've just been wandering, who have seen the truth this morning and seen the light this morning as they walk and live out steps of obedience, I just pray that you'll restore the joy of their salvation. God, do that. Only you can do that, we pray. And for most of us are just in the middle. Lord, I thank you that you know every thought and every action, and you, as a loving Father, are moving us closer to your heart. So we just say yes to what you're doing, God, and we ask you even for the power, Holy Spirit, to live out the things you're calling us to walk away from, avoid, minimize, or add. Whatever it is, God, we embrace your power to live in a way that's holy before you. We want to live with undivided devotion. And so we come to your table where you, the perfect one, died in our place and paid for what we could never pay for. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. So that no human can boast, God, you're the saver and you're the savior. So we come to you, you have the words of life. And we drink the cup of the new agreement, the cup of the new freedom. Lord, we couldn't do this for ourselves, but you're empowering us day by day to follow you. And so we receive, Lord, the infusion of life that comes from you. We receive grace and mercy, forgiveness, empowerment. We receive all these graces from you as we eat and we drink. Lord, we need you. So we come to you this morning in your name. Amen. Here's what we want to do this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet now if you would. Thanks for standing. And I'm going to invite you in a moment to go to the tables in the back and the sides. If you would like to receive prayer for anything, you can go to the front left and front right over on the sides, and our prayer team will be there. And they'd love to pray for you for anything. And they're not going to ask a big list of questions. Just go and receive prayer from a brother and sister. The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be made whole. And so we live out the Bible by praying one for another that God's healing would come. But when you grab the bread and the cup, you're going to go back and you're going to go straight. When you get back to your area, I'm going to invite you to take communion. If you came with a family, take it as a family. If you didn't come with someone, just circle up with a few people around you. If you want to, and this is an if you want to, because your heart's been stirred, if there's something that is come up this morning that is keeping you from an undivided devotion and you want to share that. So like, you know what? I need to reevaluate how I use my time. I need to evaluate what I let my eyes see. You don't have to be specific, but if you want to, that's okay. And then share that with your brother and sister who are around you. And then at one point, let's even throw it on the screen. Before you take and eat and drink together, one person in the group, make this your prayer that you recite and share to the group around you, which is take, eat, remember, and believe that the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. And then eat and drink in the grace of God. Okay, we're going to do that this morning because sometimes just doing it in a group of trusted people or some new friends is a gift. So why don't you do that? Make your way out and go to the front, back, the sides. If you want to receive prayer, you could do that now. If you want to wait till later to receive prayer, that's fine as well. Grab the bread, grab the cup. Go back. Go to the group that you came with. If not, don't let people stay alone. Include them in your group. And then if one or two of you want to share, that's fantastic. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fantastic as well. And then someone in your group lead out this confession of the complete forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. If you're watching online or at home, if you're with someone, I encourage you to do the same thing. Share one with another, be courageous in being honest about what God's really doing in your soul right now. And then whether it's with one or two or three or your whole family, take and eat and share that confession of what Jesus Christ has done in and through his death and resurrection. The band's just going to play here in the room, giving you time to do this. And then Ryan's going to lead us in some songs that are in line with the heart of God and the message for this morning.